on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the world's largest hotel loyalty program now has 200 million members. The reasons behind Hertz bailing on electric vehicles, and your next flight could be on a bus. Those stories next in the news.
You're at the airport and you notice that the letters SSSS appear boldly across the face of your boarding pass. Well, what the heck does that mean? Are you Superman? Are you going to go to the slammer? Well, most likely neither. We'll explain in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20.
I spent a week on the island of Kauai with 20 sports leisure travelers, and I've got a list of favorite places to dine, fun things to do, and reasons why the Garden Isle should be on your bucket list if it isn't already at 11:35.
In our odds and ends segment at 11:50, we asked the question, why is the president talking about getting rid of junk fees when the IRS offers tax incentives to keep them?
Wow. Welcome to a fun and information-filled glance at the world of travel. You found the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and to my extreme left is Mark Hoffman. And here we are, Mark, just back from the beautiful Isle of Kauai. I had a short visit to Las Vegas, which wasn't nearly as exciting.
Yeah, I understand that you came home without your phone. And probably without some of the money that you took with you. Did you bring the wife home with you, or did you leave her there by also?
Well, no. I brought the wife home, that's for sure. Wouldn't go anywhere without her. And good thing I did, because she was quite the lifesaver. Yeah, you know, the highlight, you know, you go to any casino, you're likely to lose money. But, you know, you got to be careful. It's a great place to leave your phone behind you. You set it down on the chart. The machines have chargers on the surfaces now. And, of course, it's black, and the color of your phone is black. And anyway, I stepped away for literally less than a minute. Went back, my phone was gone. So, anyway, so I didn't come home without my phone. I came home with a different phone.
I
actually acquired one there because there's no sales tax, right? Or no state tax, right?
So what does one do, Mr. Traveler, Mr. Smarter Traveler, when you're out on the road and you lose your phone? What's the first couple of things that you do? Because I'm just guessing, that there might be one or two people listening to this program who... For people who have already lost their phone, this doesn't help them. But for those of us who might be about to lose it in the future, just don't know it yet, what would you recommend?
Well, number one, if you lost the phone, you want to, and you're sure that it's lost and it's not going to be found, give it a little amount of time. Get a hold of your provider and have them shut your phone down. Turn it into a building brick. That way, nobody can access it. They can't get to your stuff. Even if they could get to your password, they'll just pretty much wipe it out. If it comes back, then you can maybe reset it. But bottom line, for protection, get a hold of your provider and get it cleaned. You know, the biggest hassle with losing a phone, especially when you're out of town, is on that phone is your apps to get a ride, to do so many things. How about your boarding pass? You know, oh, yeah, I got to look at my boarding pass. I mean, there are so many things that you keep on your phone. The best thing to do is keep somebody close to you who also has that information with them. Always share that information with your spouse or whatever. And with your spouse's phone, perhaps you can, you know, I mean, trying to get a ride to where the AT&T store was so I could acquire another phone was a nightmare. We don't have a whole show to cover all of that. But first of all, like I say, make sure that your phone is wiped as soon as quickly as possible, and then rely on a family friend or somebody that's with you to help out with some of that other stuff, like making sure how to get your Uber rides or whatever. Otherwise, you'll be out alongside the curb hailing a taxi like I had to.
These things really are, you know, in the old days, for those of us who are over 35, The early science fiction things had what they called, in many cases, personal communicators. And mm-hmm. it strikes me that these aren't really phones anymore. They really are, and maybe personal communicator isn't the best definition, but our lives live in these. I mean, if you're an active, busy person on any level and you lose that telephone, it's almost the worst possible thing. You know, it would be better to lose your spouse than your telephone. Because, I mean, at least on a temporary basis. Anyways, it just... I'm glad that you best piece of information. If you only walk away with one thing from this program all day, if you're on the road anywhere else and you lose your phone, make sure you contact your service provider to make sure that your phone is locked down and wiped out so that nobody can do anything bad to you. Bad enough to lose your phone, but even worse if a trail started from there.
Right, and here again, if you're traveling and there's flights involved and so forth, don't be stingy with that information. When you get your itinerary, share it with somebody else that's in your party so that they have it as well, so that you don't have to call the airlines for your boarding pass number.
All right, let's get on with the program.
All right, let's do that. Like I say, more later. We are the Travel Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, somewhere along the line, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with it for today, once again, here's Mark.
Besides the news of Tom's Las Vegas adventure. Hey, we mentioned in the headlines that Marriott's Bonvoy program has passed 200 million members. Maybe we didn't mention it was Marriott, but we teased that a program had passed 200 million members, and indeed, it is Marriott that has gone there, 200 million. Think about that. I can remember a time when the population of the country, the entire country, wasn't a whole lot more than 200 million. Marriott is around the planet. So if you want an idea of how that compares, Hilton Honors has roughly 173 million members. IHG, that's Holiday Inn, International Intercontinental Hotel Group, 100 million members. World of Hyatt has roughly 42 million members. So Marriott.
Well, but you got to remember now, Marriott got, or Bonvoy got all that by consolidating all of Sheraton and everybody else. They did it the easy way.
Yes, all of the Starwood. In fact, now, oftentimes when people online feel that Marriott hasn't treated them fairly, it's referred to as being Bonvoyed. So if you hear a frequent traveler talking about being Bonvoyed, he might not be talking about Marriott. It's just become kind of a term in the industry now among frequent travelers. If something bad happened to you on the road, you probably got Bonvoyed. United Airlines is going back to Israel starting next week, only days after American Airlines delayed its return to Israel until late October. United Airlines announced it would restore service to Tel Aviv. The first flight actually leaves today from Newark. So some service back to that area. Delta Airlines has not made any announcements yet. Air Canada announced that they're going to have two new routes from its Toronto Hub Airport this week to nearby Hamilton and Waterloo. Those two cities are about 50 miles from the airport. And it caused me to kind of do a little searching. I got curious as to whether any U.S. airlines have connections that are actually buses and not flights. And indeed, there are a few of them. American Airlines uses buses between Philadelphia and Allentown and Lancaster, two cities that are close. United Airlines connects Denver with Fort Collins. Sun Country, which is in Minneapolis, St. Paul, uses buses for quote, flights to and from Fargo, Duluth, and Rochester. And so anyways, just kind of an interesting little thing there. I can remember in the old days when the fog used to be really bad in Sacramento, frequently United would run fog charters, get a bus and put all the people on the early San Francisco flight in the morning and take them down to San Francisco by bus. I always wondered, though, if the fog was too bad to fly, wouldn't mm-hmm. that mean that the fog would be kind of dangerous to drive? Also, anyways, those days
for
are,
sure.
Yeah, those days are long gone. Hey, and if you wonder why air service comes and goes to some cities, Brisbane, Australia is a beautiful example. The government there announced that they had some money and they would incentivize airlines to come there. So United, which hadn't flown there for 2 years, American Airlines, which had never been in, and Delta Airlines all announced new service to Brisbane. So what happens is that this happens in smaller cities in our own country, too. A city will pop up on somebody's flight schedule, and you'll say, oh, wow, isn't that awesome? Now I'd love to go there once a year, and I used to have to fly 100 miles away and drive in, and then 6 months later you'll look back and see, oh, man, the service is gone. I wonder what happened. Well, the subsidy ran out, and the flight wasn't profitable enough for the airline to stick to it, so that's why. Hertz Rent-A-Car last year ordered 100,000 Teslas, amounting to about a quarter of their fleet. Now they are returning Teslas and trying to get out of taking delivery of the rest of them. One of the Hertz just found that people didn't want to rent electric cars as much as they thought. The whole charging thing, which we've talked about on this program, if you're not a driver of an electric car and you rent one and you're on the road, suddenly you are faced with not only operational issues about the car itself, but where do you fuel it? And also, if you're taking a rental car back to the airport and you're driving there, you're going to stop at a service station. You try not to get too close to the airport because the gas price goes up. But you're going to stop 10 minutes from the airport, fill the tank, and then drive back and return your car and go get on your airplane. What if you have an electric car and the tank's only half full? How long is it going to take you to charge that? Where are you going to charge it? How much money is it going to cost you to charge it? All of those things have contributed to people not being as crazy about renting electric vehicles as Hertz thought. Also, Hertz signed an agreement with Uber to rent half of their Teslas to Uber drivers. And apparently that only added to the grief of the situation. The levels of damages on those vehicles turned out to be even higher because Uber drivers' usage factor is much higher. In other words, they're driving the car, and more people are getting in and out of it, so there are a lot more opportunities for something to go wrong with the car, or there just to be general wear and tear, and Hertz apparently hadn't factored that into the situation. So Hertz is pulling back away from having electric vehicles. American Airlines has added some new standby restrictions if you fly American Airlines. I'm not going to go into great details here, because they're a little bit technical, but basically you can now only reserve a spot on the standby list either online or on the app. They will no longer do it for you manually. So if you are an American Airlines flyer and you like to fly standby, that's something that could possibly affect you. And the government is taking steps. The Biden administration is proposing regulations to make air travel easier for people using wheelchairs. This story just broke on Thursday. Not a lot of details yet, but trying to make sure that everybody is on the same page, not only about the usage of assistive devices, but also putting some rules into effect that will disincentivize the airlines in terms of the way they handle wheelchairs and the like. So in other words, you break somebody's wheelchair, they gave it to you in good condition, they get to the other end and it's no longer workable. That creates a bit of a problem for the person that needs that wheelchair basically to leave the airport. So the airlines really have to be, there has to be a system intact that finds the airlines enough money and creates enough relief fairly quickly so that the airlines will pay a little bit more attention to the wheelchairs and the like. I'm sure it's a big pain in the rear end for them, but for the grace of God, there go I. So, you know, maybe someday you'll be in that same position. But anyway, perhaps some extra measures for people who use assistive devices when they travel, and that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Want to remind you now, every Monday, and that's just a few days away, Rudy's Hideaway offers a 2-for-$65 dinner special. They asked that I mention it to you. The options are great, too. Choices include the lobster tail, prime rib, let's see, filet bourguignon, let's see, chicken marsala, golden fried prawns, all choices with the 2-for-$65. That includes Boston clam chowder and baked potatoes, vegetables, and San Francisco sourdough, and it's almost lunchtime. And don't forget, anytime you're there, if that's not to your liking, just be sure to ask for the Travel Guy special. Save some money on that. It's a 6-ounce lobster tail dinner for only $29.95, and You can see Rudy's off the Highway 50 at Hazel.
Huh? I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question. On the 2 for $65 thing, do you have to take somebody with you, or can one person order the two and just eat two dinners for... Never mind. I just was trying to...
I don't know.
That's a pretty good... You know, the food before before we go to the break here, can I just give my own slight endorsement there? The food at Rudy's is really good. It's always been good. The service is good. It's not a real big place. If you've never been there before, it's just off of... It's real easy to find. It's right off of Highway 50 at Hazel. And they're really nice people there. You might go there and find that it gets added to your favorite places to go every once in a while list, because it's that sort of place. So anyways, if you haven't tried Rudy's, go down and give a try. Lots of special things going on. And remember to mention us if you want the lobster special.
Outstanding. Very, very good. All right. If you go to the airport and you get a boarding pass, and I was there, mine didn't have the SSSS on it. In fact, I don't even know what that means, but we're going to find out. If you get a boarding pass with four S's, what do you do? Next, here on the Travel Guys. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. The entertainment part, you know, that's not like we're supposed to be entertaining and funny and stupid, which I am most of the time. Yes, thank you. It has to do with that there are times when on our show we bring you information about entertainment. Because there's nothing like being entertained when you travel.
Hey, you know what? Jack Gallagher is coming back.
I know, I saw that. Yes, yeah, Steve is handling
He's bringing his, quote, band, which brings up visions of a stage full of musicians or, you know, a band marching down the street. Now, you might want to just trim that expectation a little bit. But anyway, Jack has a band. We'll let that just kind of remain a little bit in the unknown right now. His fans will already know. But he's coming back in April, and we're going to have him on the program in a couple of weeks, and talk about it so that you can get tickets. I saw his show when he was here in, was it December? Early December? Late November? Something like that. Anyways, when he was here just a little while ago with the other guys from Massachusetts who were hysterical. It was really entertaining. If you're old school and you remember when Jack Gallagher was on the air here in town and the like, he's really a funny guy. And it's really, and the B Street, the Sophia, is a great venue. So we'll have Jack on with us in a couple weeks. I'm sorry, you said entertainment, and that made me realize that
you digressed.
Jack, we had heard from Jack's people last week, and they said, you better get him on the air. You know, he's from Massachusetts. So.
All right. Okay, you know, I didn't see an SSSS. I did see my pre-check, and by the way, pre-check is getting busier and busier, but it's still not as crazy as the regular lines in most cases.
So, at least with pre-check, you get people who travel often enough to recognize that there might be a value in getting in the short line. So those people are probably, you know, they probably have fewer children with them on the average and fewer things in their pockets, and they maybe even have thought about the possibility of putting those things in their carry-on before they get up to the line.
Remind me to tell you about the gal with the knee brace in the pre-check and the 5 minutes it took her to get it off of her leg to go through the line. And, oh, yeah, you don't have to take your shoes off, don't have to take your coat off, don't take a dip. But if you've got a knee wrap and they spot it and it's underneath your tight pants, well, that's for another show. Okay,
yes,
let's get back to the whole tight pants thing. The four S's on my boarding pass. What the heck is that?
The four S's on your boarding pass stand for, believe it or not, Secondary Security Screening Selection.
Wow.
Yeah, say that four times fast. Secondary Security Screening Selection.
Okay.
So you have gotten lucky. You have won the TSA lottery. You have been randomly selected to get a little extra look before you're allowed to get on your airplane. And there's a possibility that you could have brought this on yourself. It is, they say it's random, but certain people and certain situations cause you to be less random, shall we say, than other people. If you went online today and bought a one-way ticket to Bolivia tomorrow, and you weren't coming back, you didn't buy a return ticket, and you'd never done this before, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to get those four S's splattered on your boarding pass. So the system is looking for anomalies and people who might possibly be on a mission that might make them a threat to the rest of us who are just going and getting on an airplane and trying to get from A to B. So I used to, before I had TSA PreCheck many years ago, I used to get this SSSS somewhat frequently because I would buy tickets on fairly short notice, and sometimes they'd be what we call open jaw. That means you're flying into New York and then flying home from Boston, because I was doing scouting trips to check out itineraries and stuff. So I would get the SSSS more frequently than just the average traveler would get it, maybe once a year, once every 5 years. I would get it three or four times a year. Since I've become PreCheck, I get it almost never. I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time it has happened. It's happened, but it hasn't happened very frequently. If this happens to you, they're going to give you some extra screening. If you have if you're a PreCheck person, you will lose that privilege. In other words, you don't get to go through the PreCheck line and zip through. They're going to go through most likely your carry-on bag. They may open it and look at things a little more closely. If you have electronics, even with the updated technology, they may require you to turn it on. You'll be asked probably a few extra secondary screening questions, probably that might have pertained to what type of ticket that you purchased, something like that. It usually takes only a couple of extra minutes. It usually takes more time to get the supervisor or the person in charge of secondary screening to come and get you and take you to wherever place that that's happening. That usually takes 5 minutes, whereas the secondary screening itself is only a couple minutes. So if you see those four S's on your boarding pass, not to worry. It doesn't mean that something bad is going to happen to you. It just means that it's going to be a few extra minutes at the airport. You know, we're always harping on this program about one of the places you can give yourself a little extra time and it will pay off for you in the long run is the airport. This would be another example of one of the things. Maybe you haven't printed your boarding pass, you didn't look at it, now you're in line, you look, you see those four S's. Now, if you've got 5 minutes before your flight door closes, you're in big trouble. So make sure that you know, the airport's the extra time, and those four S's are a sign that it's going to take you a few extra minutes to get through security. If it happens a lot, ask the you can contact TSA, and you can get what's called a redress number, which will allow you then, they will know that you're legit, and you won't get that as often.
All right, quick time out. Travel Guy's back, and off to Maui we go. Or, I'm sorry, Lahaina, when we return. Live here Saturday morning, 11 to 12. It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for coming along. All right, Mark, last week when we were on the radio, you were live from Kauai.
I was.
And we had to get things done and so forth and get you back out on the road because you were going to luau's and you were going to on boat cruises and such. Let's give people a little rundown of that sports leisure traveler's vacation.
Well, we spent a week on the island of Kauai, which is as long as we've ever spent on any one island. And I will do more of this rather in the first time we went to Hawaii 40 years ago, we went 3 nights on every island, you know, all the four major islands. And we kind of continued that for a long time. And then we'd cut an island out, we'd do 3 islands and do 4 nights on each island. And then as people didn't want to travel and be gone away from home as much, you know, we'd do 4 nights or 5 nights on a couple of islands. In this case, we put the smallest island, Kauai, with one road and decided to spend a week there. It's my favorite place in the islands. It's called the Garden Isle. And probably people say, well, what's the thing that's most memorable about Kauai? And it is you do not need an alarm clock there. And the reason you don't need an alarm clock there is because of the roosters in the morning who will start crowing, a half an hour or so before the sun comes up. And almost no matter where you are, they had a couple hurricanes, one in the 80s and one in the 90s. And people who grew chickens, who raised chickens on the islands, the chickens, the coops and stuff got blown open and the chickens got loose. And there are no natural predators for the chickens on the island. So they just keep, in fact, they're not protected. They encourage you to take one or more home with you if you'd like.
No natural predators.
No snakes. There's no, so the chickens just basically, they just have come home to roost, so to speak, and they're everywhere. Anyway, the noise that the chickens provide in the mornings is somewhat unique to the island of Kauai. The other thing about Kauai, the downside that kind of keeps some people from going, is there's only one main road. And if you took an island or kind of a round island and then you took the letter C and you turned it backwards and you laid it down on top of that round island, that would give you an ID. The road doesn't even go all the way around the island. It just goes about three-quarters of the way because of the Nepali coast. And so the cliffs over there and stuff, there's no way to put a road through. So there's one major road, and that it gets kind of crowded sometimes. There's about 70,000 residents on the island, plus the visitors. So, traffic wasn't a problem for us because we had, a wonderful driver named Rosario, Polynesian Adventures provided our coach. So it wasn't an issue for us. That's one nice thing. If you have a rental car, you go over there and you've got a rental car, you know, every time you go someplace, you've got to park. One of the advantages of going with a group is that we don't have to worry about parking. The driver worries about parking. He drops us at the front door and then wanders off and takes care of things. Another advantage of going with a group, for example, we got over there and I heard about this crafts show that was going on in a veterans building in town. And so on Saturday, a few days after we'd gotten there, so we just quickly, I altered the itinerary and we went. And it was just a crafts fair with a bunch of local people. A lot of our folks bought something. But what was really cool was I looked around the room at one point, and there were four or five or six of our people engaged in conversations with the vendors, whether they were buying something or just talking about things. You know, you travel to meet people and to learn about their lives. And what better way to learn about somebody's life than to start talking to them about something they've made? And obviously they have a passion for it. And then they're asking you, you know, where are you from? And, oh, you know, I have a cousin who lives in Sacramento. And what part of town do you live in? I go and visit him sometimes. This is my favorite restaurant. And, you know, pretty soon you've made a new friend, which is kind of sort of the point. So when people ask me advantages of traveling with a group, I tell them that, you know, if you've got a good tour company, why they can do things on the fly that will enhance your trip, and sometimes do things on the fly that will help you avoid problems that have popped up along the way.
Agreed. You know, in a situation like you just described, meeting people that are locals. You know, when I went to Vegas, I had conversations with people that were locals, but they were the Uber drivers.
Yeah,
and they had to, for the 15-minute ride, to tell you their life stories.
There also
not quite
are
the
some-
same.
Yeah, there are some wonderful things to do on the island also. We went to the Smith's family there. They've been doing trips on the river to a place called the Fern Grotto since the 1940s, fifth generation family operation now. If you've been to Kauai, you've been to the Fern Grotto. It's not quite the same as it used to be. The hurricane in the 90s made the ground around the grotto a little unstable. So now you used to be able to walk up kind of into it. Now you have to take a picture from a slight distance. So, Fern Grotto cruise, I'd probably leave that off my list, heaven forbid, because of the changes. But the Smith's family put on a luau, and they put on by far the best luau in the islands. And the reason I say that is because their luau, you go to a bunch of the luau's and, you know, somebody will sing Tiny Bubbles and Little Grass Shack and lots of favorite old Hawaiian songs, and maybe that's why you went. If you went to the Smith's luau, theirs is a history of the South Pacific. So Tongans and Samoans and Tahitians and their music and their dance, and it's not things that you're familiar with. So, but it's an opportunity to learn a little bit about these people, and if that's why you came, that's great. The wonderful thing is they'd have a little pre-show while you're eating across from where the show is, the entertainment is held, and the man who runs the pre-show, he sings all those favorite songs. So you get a little bit of both. But it's really a terrific Smith's Luau. If you get a chance to go to Kauai, I recommend it.
There you go. Think of the least likely name associated with Hawaii.
Yeah.
And that's the luau, Smith.
Smith, exactly. He wasn't a native Hawaiian, the original Mr. Smith, in the 40s. Also, we go to Lydgate Chocolate. Will has been on our show before. That is just the, man, that might be the best tour in the islands. But if you go to Kauai, you're on a cruise ship, and you can only do one thing, do the Lydgate Chocolate Farm Tour. It's about 3 hours. You're going to sample all kinds of chocolate. They're going to tell you about how chocolate is grown. You're going to sample all kinds of Hawaiian, different Hawaiian fruits and things they grow on site. It's a kind of little bit of a walking and sit-down tasting tour. The guides are excellent. The people there are just the nicest people. On Kauai, people are friendly to start with. But Will's people
sounds
are
like,
friendly.
It sounds like a fondue experience to me. You got the chocolate factory and you got all the fruits. You just got to melt it down a little bit.
Yeah, well, and you know, you learn to taste chocolate like you taste wine, which is kind of interesting.
What, you don't swallow it? Oh, wait.
Well, you do, but you're tasting a small piece of chocolate, right, and you're looking for the different flavors that just like you would in a fine wine. So the Lydgate Chocolate Tour is really, really, really special. We went to a place called the Kauai Museum. Most people would probably skip this unless they were fans of students of history. This museum on this island, well worth a stop. Spend an hour there. The gentleman who runs it, his nickname or his the way he's known around the entire island, he's known as Chucky Boy. This is not a young man. This is a grown adult man who goes by Chucky Boy. And if you call him anything else, nobody will know who you're talking about. He runs the museum. He came in and gave our folks an orientation, and there's all this cool historical stuff hanging from the ceiling and the walls, and you really feel like you've taken a step back in time. So if you like history, the Kauai Museum is someplace I recommend. If you like gardens, Laina Kai Botanical Garden we walked through. Again, advantage of being with a group. We had arranged for a guide to give our people a guided walk. They do self-guided walks. You can also sign up for guided walks. There is another great botanical garden on the island called Allerton's Garden. They also do guided walks, but I like Laina Kai myself. It's a little bit up north around the Princeville area, if you know that. We did a hill. Some of our folks did a helicopter ride. The ride itself got good reviews, but the company was an absolute pain in the butt to work with. So if you can find somebody besides Jack Carter Helicopters to work with on Kauai, I just, a lot of last minute things, calls, changes, up in the air, just a lot of, ultimately it all worked out, but it was not, when I go back, I will not use that company.
Wow. Okay. Are there a decent selection to use?
Yes, there are four or five different helicopter companies on the island. Dining. We went to Duke's on arrival. It's right near the airport. It's in the Marriott Vacation Club, kind of hidden there. But Duke's is an excellent place to dine. Shave ice is something you got to do while you're on the island. If you're in the islands, period. Up on the north end of the island around Princeville, there's a place called Wishing Well Shave Ice. They have a lot of natural Hawaiian flavors. Think coconut and papaya and things like that, which are really fun. The Westin Hotel has a lovely dining room, so if you're not staying up in Princeville, you can go up there and have lunch. Have yourself a shave ice. Look out on Hanalei Bay, which was known as Hanalei in the Peter, Paul, and Mary song. It is where Puff the Magic Dragon lives, of course.
What is the price of a shaved ice medium these days?
Shave ice has become a little bit of a, it's a shave ice is $7 or $8, and you can have two or three different flavors. It's way, way, way bigger than a snow cone. Okay. You can get toppings on it. You can get a scoop of ice cream in the bottom. You can practically make it an entire decadent meal. A shave ice could cost you $13 or $14 without any trouble.
Well, see, the only reason I brought that up is I've been campaigning for many, many years that probably the best profit margin of any product anywhere would have to be a snow cone, and in this case, a shaved ice, which probably cost about 5 cents to produce.
Yeah, well, and the toppings now, I mean, they're fairly liberal, but you got all that ice, so you got to pour enough toppings on so that people are having a real treat all the way through. But I like to get a scoop of ice cream in the bottom on occasion.
Oh, my.
That adds a little extra. Yeah. Shave ice is something you got to have if you go to the islands. Wrangler Steakhouse was also a place that we really enjoyed dining at. We've been eating there for a long time. There's a culinary market on Wednesday afternoon in Poipu that starts about 3:30. And the best thing about that whole market is there's a vendor that comes there that sells white pineapple. I don't particularly care for pineapple. Yeah. I don't particularly care for pineapple. But white pineapple, entirely different consistency, flavor, amazing. It doesn't tear the inside of your mouth up like regular pineapple does. It's really, really, really amazing. Go early, though, because the line is long and they sell out before it's over. We also went up to Waimea Canyon, had a perfect weather day, so the greens of the inside of the canyons and the red dirt and all that stuff were really in contrast. Coconut Marketplace is doing well. We stayed at Kauai Shores, which is right next to Coconut Marketplace, half a dozen good restaurants there, oversized ABC-type store. So you can get just about anything that you might need in terms of sundries or drugs or, you know, whatever you've forgotten. You get over there, you got a cold, you need some NyQuil or something like that, while you can pick it up. Another thing that I noticed on the island, in a lot of places, people are using disposable and recyclable things much more so than they ever have before. They kind of live on top of each other there. And so I think there's a little higher awareness to the fact that, hey, we need to do something to stem the tide, if you don't mind the pun here, and try to slow the garbaging of the planet. And so the people in Kauai have done some cool things. I brought back this cool little spoon, this little piece of paper at the chocolate farm that they used. It folded into a usable spoon to taste some of the fruits and stuff like that. It's cool.
You have it there. Let me see it.
Yeah. So it's just a little, you know, a little like 2 inches long and about half an inch wide. It's kind of cool.
Great. So it's recyclable versus plastic spoons or whatever. And that was at the chocolate factory.
Yeah, at Lydgate Chocolate. Let me give another plug for Will's place there. Really and truly, if you go to Hawaii, there are two places you've got to go. One is on the Big Island. You've got to go to the Hawaiian Vanilla Farm and do that tour. It's gonna come with a lunch. It's gonna cost you over $100. It's gonna be some of the best money you spend. And the other one is Lydgate Chocolate on Kauai. Is the real deal. It's not a commercialized thing. It's only done for a limited number of people every day.
Where is the Seahorse Farm?
Oh, the Seahorse Farm. That's on the Big Island. That's on the Kona, okay. The Kona side of the Big Island. Yeah, that's a pretty cool deal too. That's also a very unique. You have a good memory, my friend. You're doing well.
When it comes to Hawaii, the stuff you talk about, I'm always on the edge of my seat.
We had a great time. I had a wonderful group of people to travel with. We laughed and drank and ate, and they tasted rum. And that was fun. When they came out, they all had, you know, it's five or six little samples. So it's like, you know, a shot and a half over a 45-minute period. But they all came out and had those rosy cheeks and everything, and we're all very talkative. It was a lot of fun. If you're going to Hawaii and you've never gone to Kauai because you say, well, it's just a small island, there probably isn't much to do there, it's the best place to go in the whole islands. Yeah. But don't tell everybody. Because it's already a little bit crowded.
Yeah, we'll keep it down. We'll keep it a secret. Is that the island where they filmed Jurassic Park?
It is. And tons of other movies and TV commercials. And our driver was constantly telling us about, and every time we stopped somewhere, they were saying, well, they filmed this here, or some well-known TV commercial that you knew, or something like that. So, yeah, they do a lot of filming there because there's a lot of wonderful scenery on that island. But if you go don't just go on a cruise ship and be on Kauai for part of a day and then come home and tell your friends, oh, I went to Kauai, because that's baloney. Get off the boat and go to the museum and go to a local crafts fair or a farmer's market or something like that and meet some of the people there. They are really incredibly nice folks.
If you're just joining us, we are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Mark's just got back with a group of sports leisure vacationers for a trip to Kauai, and that was some good stuff. If you just tuned in at the end of it and you'd like to kind of like revisit this, go to travelguysradio.com. We post podcasts of all of our shows every week there, okay? All right, now let's take a short time out. Odds and ends segment. A lot of good stuff coming up in that. That's next here on the Travel Guys. Yeah, be sure to write it. Best awards. We're award winning. I don't know. I gave Mark an award.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, you know, how do we get that at podcast? We must have. We have a couple thousand podcast listeners on the average every week. So
that's just locally.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's so a lot of people. You know, it's amazing how many. You know, we used to be on until September of last year. For 14 and a half years, we were on Sundays. Well, we weren't on Sunday at 3 for all of that time, but for a long, long time. It's amazing how many people I talk to, Tom, say, oh, yeah, when are you guys on again? Because they lost us. So a lot of people say, you know, I forget when you're on now, so I just go and get the podcast. You can go to travelguysradio.com, and you can sign up, and we will send you a link each week when the podcast is out. So you can just ignore it if you wish, or you can go and listen to it. Hint, the 60-minute show, when you take out the news and the commercials, is only about 44 minutes. So the podcast is a little shorter. Okay, couple of important things here. We should have called this the Shame on You segment. I want to have time for these two items. We marvel at the airlines charging for checked bags. And the story the last couple of weeks has been several airlines have raised the cost of checking a bag. And people are like, well, you know, prices are going up, and it's costing you more to handle my bag? Wait a minute. It costs you $40 to take my bag from the belt, put it in the belly of the plane, take it off the belly, put it on the belt? No, of course not. It's a huge profit center for the airlines. Why are they crazy about it? Because a 2010 IRS decision ruled that baggage fees are not taxable. So the airlines last year collected approximately $33 billion with a B dollars from us in checked bag fees around the planet, and U.S. carriers at least paid absolutely no taxes on that money that they collected from us. So if you wonder why baggage fees are going up, it has nothing to do with the cost of handling the baggage. It has to do with diverting more of the airline's profits to someplace where they're not taxable. So it's a way of, let's look at it this way, folks. They take more money from us when you check your bag, and then when the next COVID comes along, they're going to go, oh, no, we need billions of dollars to survive. And so it's, they get us now, and then they get us later. If you lived in Canada, I was telling Tom, the people who talk about Air Canada have nothing good to say about their airline either. All right, quickly here before we have to go. This is a shame on you. Tennessee's Republican-dominant House of Representatives Thursday advanced legislation that it would allow the state's tourism public records to remain secret and hidden from the public eye. Now, why would you want to keep the records hidden from the public eye? So I did a little more research. Turns out that Tennessee, Nashville, is in the running for a future Super Bowl game. In order to get the Super Bowl game, you have to make all kinds of concessions to the NFL and promise them that you will do things. Many of those things cost money. So you wouldn't want the residents of your state to be able to, who didn't, weren't interested in football or were interested in some fiscal responsibility, to be able to look at your tourism records and see that you had spent a whole lot of money wooing the NFL to try to get the Super Bowl, especially if you ended up not getting it, or making promises of a lot of taxpayer money you were going to spend in order to get that big game. So just thought I would share that with you. Shame on the Tennessee House of Representatives for trying to hide their tourism stuff. And in the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
All right, my friends. We are the Travel Guys. Next week, we're going to have Charlie Leoka is going to join us. Charlie's going to be talking about... What does Charlie write about most recently, Mark?
Airline baggage fees, carry-on fees, and why there are rules that have been written that have not been enforced yet.
All right. Okay, my friends, that's it for the Travel Guys for this week. You stay well, and we'll see you next time right here at 11 a.m. for the next edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys.